So we're talking about Kong Skull Island tonight.
Jack Black was on this?
Huh?
In this? Jack Black? Was he
no, that was the other one.
You're thinking of like Kong.
Can we watch that one?
No. No, we don't have 6 months to spare.
A Peter Jackson.
What do you mean?
It's a freaking long movie.
Oh,
I don't want to do 3.5 hours of that movie.
True. I did like that movie, though.
It's
I liked
good.
It. Right. You know, yeah. It was long.
The Jack Black
maybe
one
we can do
was
it for
like
the
3 hours.
Or something.
Yeah, the Jack Black one was like 3 hours.
What?
And I feel like the Jack Black one also stuck more to the original, like, obviously, it was embellished out to 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, this is not...
Storyline-wise, it followed the original King Kong
This
movie.
Is not like, oh, okay. We're going to have send him to New York and, like, he's going to climb a tower and fall off. No.
Oh,
like,
here comes the biplane.
This is... You remember the cool part of the King Kong movie where he beats the shit out of a couple of dinosaurs?
Yeah.
They said, hey, you know how everyone thinks this is the best part of the movie? What if we just did that for 2 hours? And they were right, because this movie is awesome. But first, we should probably tell people who we are.
It's true. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I emerge from the water, tentacles wriggling.
I'm Rick Fox. I'm an actual author here in Nashville, and I am the king.
I'm Andreas. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and Big Ape go...
I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and I have a giant... axe.
That's not
one.
In this one.
And we're opinionated. And despite what Brian was referencing, which is the new King Kong vs. Godzilla.
He didn't already
out.
Have that?
Nope, it's not.
No,
that one. That's
who made him that?
I don't know.
We don't know yet. It's not been introduced
in this movie. Tonight we're watching Kong Skull Island. Kong Skull Island came out in 2017. It has a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was directed by Jordan Voight Roberts, written by Dan Gilroy and Max Bergenstein, and it stars Tom Hiddleston, Samuel L. Jackson, Brie Larson, John C. Reilly, John Goodman, and many, many others.
After the Vietnam War, a team of scientists explores an uncharted island in the Pacific, venturing into the domain of the mighty Kong, and must fight to escape a primal Eden.
I think, did we watch this for the podcast way back when?
I still maintain that I don't think you were on the episode, but I never went back to check, so maybe you were. But yes, this is going to be our first second opinions episode. We've got some new hosts here. It's been a long time since we reviewed that episode, and it's leading up to something big coming out now, so we are going to redo that.
Okay. Has everyone here seen it? Brian,
nope.
Andreas?
Maybe. I don't know which one is which.
Okay.
This is the one with the giant monkey.
Every
There's
Kong
several.
Has a giant monkey.
There's just this one.
He's an ape, okay.
There are other King Kong movies.
They all
but
just alluded to the ape in the other ones.
I mean, out of the three that exist, he is alluded to in Kong's King of Monsters, so that is accurate, technically.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know what you think of it, Rick. Also, I just checked, and I was on this one. It was Chris that was missing.
Because okay,
our
gotcha.
Description for the... Let me read the description for our last one. Rick, Josh, and Benj went to see Kong Skull Island. Will this movie be about a grape ape, or is there too much monkey business?
I miss Benj. He should come back someday. Anyway, okay, cool. But we've got Brian and Andreas, and we need to have them on their thoughts on Mighty Kong.
Do you guys, like... I love Godzilla. That's it's pretty well known. Do you guys care about King Kong at all? Like,
yeah,
he's all right.
He's
have you seen it sounds like you guys saw the other movie at least.
Yeah, I saw the Peter Jackson one, but that's really only been my only exposure to the character.
Okay.
So, back in the ancient days when there weren't good special effects and it was just giant
claymation
dudes
and guys,
or
in,
guys
rubber
in rubber suits
yeah.
mostly, yeah. I remember watching King Kong versus Godzilla and I remember it fondly.
Mm-hmm,
it
mm-hmm.
does not hold up.
Yeah.
But I think that my memories of this movie, which are basically based on the one time I watched it for the podcast, are really positive. I'm really excited to watch it again because I remember liking this movie a lot.
Okay.
And this movie did a lot to get me on Kong's side because earlier today I saw a poll that was like, who do you think is going to win the fight in Godzilla versus Kong? And I was like, well, it's Godzilla, but I actually hesitated, which is, you know, surprising because I love Godzilla so much, but this movie did a lot to get Kong over for me. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I would agree that I like Kong in this movie. And I mean, who doesn't love a good kaiju, like two giant monsters beasties fighting each other, right? It's just,
sure.
It's just fun. I will say my memories of this movie are that I enjoyed like significant portions of it, but that I left the theater overall feeling kind of disappointed. And I think it's because, just again, trying to go back to 2017 to remember, but
right.
My memories of it, the feeling that I had was that the movie kind of jumped around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And and that happens in a number of kaiju movies, yeah, right? Sure. Especially the ones where they're like, oh, and then the third monster comes in. Oh, but then actually there's a fourth and fifth monster too. And it's like, okay, I guess. And I like it when it's like, oh, here's bad monster and here's other bad monster. And maybe we've already introduced third bad monster from the get-go. So it's not just coming out of left
field.
You're
not expecting
it. And then the rest
of
the movie is them taking turns kicking each other's ass until the third final battle where they all kick each other's ass, but one guy wins, right? That's what I like. And not the, like, out of left field, here's a new guy that is just here now, right? So there's a lot of fun to be had with this movie, but it wasn't, like, it didn't scratch that itch as much as I wanted it to, I guess.
I think that what really endeared me to this movie is at least one of the human stories, because this starts off with, like, two guys, one Japanese and one American, landing on this island, and they're trying to kill each other, but then Kong interrupts their fight. And I don't want to spoil where that goes for you guys, but I really appreciated that, because in most of these, you know, giant monster movies, there is a human story, but it sucks.
Yeah.
And this one at least had that element that had it going for me. I think that the main part of the plot, it was kind of iffy, but at least they tried and made it more fun than they normally do with these kinds of movies.
Yeah, I agree. I think what happens in a lot of the kaiju movies I don't enjoy as much is that despite the monster fights being the bulk of the action, as far as like dedication to the story, the human, like, oh, I'm going through a divorce or whatever, is actually the A plot, and then the monster in the background is the B plot for the movie. And that's got to be flipped. Like, I don't mind having a human element to it. Like, it's necessary, right?
Yeah.
But the story should be about, oh, shit, Godzilla's coming and murdering everybody.
Right.
And now I've got to escape. And also, my son is failing math. What am I going to do about it, right? Like, it needs to be in its appropriate place.
I now really want a movie where Godzilla teaches a small child math.
He's, like, burning down buildings. Uh-huh. Like, six buildings, minus two buildings. What is it, Timmy?
Four buildings.
Good job, Timmy.
On that note, we should probably get upstairs and watch this movie.
I'm down. Before we go, a couple quick plugs. Rick's book, Fate's Pawn, is available in its revised version on Amazon in paperback and e-reader forms. Rick, how many giant monsters are in your books?
Two. They have a big fight.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
If you like giant monsters fighting, check out Fate's Pawn on Amazon. Additionally, if you enjoy the podcast and want to help support us, check us out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/opinionated. You can get all sorts of bonus content there, first impressions, listener requests, as well as a couple of tabletop gaming episodes that we've done. So definitely go give that a check. Again, that's patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute after we're done watching Kong Skull Island.
An uncharted island.
Let me list all the ways you're going to die. Rain, heat, disease-carrying flies, and we haven't started on the things that want to eat your life.
We'll double that.
Plus a bonus if we make it back.
If?
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine.
Is that a monkey?
All right, and we're back.
Most of us, anyway.
Well, yeah, most of us. Brian's taking a giant shit, but he's taking so long.
Josh, making a monkey tail. Come on.
What?
I've never heard that phrase before.
Is that a real thing?
The way you two have both reacted makes me think that you both have heard it before.
No.
No, I've genuinely never heard that before.
It makes sense, right?
Is it a thing you just made up?
No, I've heard that before.
From who?
I don't know. I don't remember where the last time I heard a weird, goofy phrase was.
For pooping.
Yeah.
You don't log all of this in your diary?
Log.
No, I thought you just made it up because, you know, giant monkey in the movie.
He didn't have a tail, though.
It doesn't matter.
Yes,
it's
it does.
A giant King Kong monkey. Whatever.
Can we at least just settle for primate?
You don't know what genus he comes from.
He's a giant gorilla.
He looks like one. He's probably not a gorilla.
Because gorillas can't walk upright and don't have legs that long.
They do actually. They are able to walk upright, but not very well.
Briefly, yes. Yeah. They can't. He walks upright
this
like a person.
This dude walks upright the whole time.
He's very clearly seen his face.
He's picking his teeth with a helicopter blade. This man. This is closer to a human than a gorilla.
I don't know.
But it is farther from a monkey.
It's like you took the Hulk's body and put the King Kong's head on his shoulders.
Right.
Or a gorilla's head.
Look, all this to say, you're making a monkey tail comment about poo makes no sense.
Hey,
Brian's back for making his monkey tail.
Brian, have you ever heard the phrase making a monkey tail for pooping?
No.
What the fuck? How am I the only person who's heard this?
Because also, it's not a real phrase.
It is.
I've heard a lot of poop sounds.
Oh, I didn't say. No, I didn't mean like your butt makes the.
you've heard a lot of poop sayings there, Brian?
Yeah.
I'm going to Google making a monkey tail, see what comes up.
I mean, it makes sense. I get the imagery.
Making a brown snake? Like, basically anything like.
Letting the bears out of the cave?
What?
No. Yes.
No.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one either.
I've heard that one.
They're brown and kind of poop shaped. And the cape is your butthole.
Bears are not poop shaped.
According to Urban Dictionary, monkey tail is when you're trying to hold back a massive shit and finally get to the bathroom and you have what looks like a long monkey tail of shit hanging out of your ass, i.e., a turtle head.
No, a turtle head.
I'm convinced that you just wrote that so it exists.
By Tony, January 28th, 2004. So if I did, this was a long game I was playing.
So you and your friend Tony are the only two people who use
Tony's
this phrase.
Tony's just internet persona.
There you go.
You know, in that case, you know, mad respect.
Yeah.
No respect for that dumbass saying. Anyway, the only reason we brought up poo is because Brian was taking forever, but we talked about poo so long that Brian's back from his long poo.
I was making chocolate.
See, that one makes sense. I've heard that one before.
I mean, you admitted that the monkey tail made sense. You understood exactly what I meant by it.
I guess. I just feel like...
Why are you so offended by the monkey's tail?
Because I feel like it's exaggerating the amount of poo that you're making.
I don't have a problem with the amount. It's the consistency that they think that it like holds as one solid stream.
Right, because it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't come out in one go. It breaks and it plops and it pinches off.
We're not in Wes Anderson month anymore, so we don't need to be talking this much shit.
Get out of here, Rick.
I'm Rick.
I don't like Wes Anderson month. I don't know why I'm making fun of my own voice.
That's what you sound like.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, the monkey in this one's pretty cool. I like Big Monkey King Kong. Yeah.
I feel like this movie has a really good amount of King Kong specifically.
Yeah.
I like that
in the middle, there's a solid stretch of no Kong.
But we saw other monsters, and I was down with
that. Exactly. Yeah. The other monsters make up for him, and you don't want him all the time, because then that would like ruin the fun of him being around. So like having him be gone for a little while other stuff takes the front, I think is a good move.
Sort of. I think this gets back into what I was talking about, where it's like, which is the main story? Is Kong the main story, or is people the main story? And when it gets into like, here's the giant middle section with no Kong, and yeah, there's other monsters, but it's like, the other monsters are bad for the people. And it should be like, crap, the other people see the monsters and it's bad, and then here comes Kong right away to come in and kick some ass.
We saw some all right monsters.
Or like,
bad for people.
I mean, Kong's trying to sleep, and he's laying down, he's like, I gotta recover from my helicopter blade wounds. And then in comes one of the skull crushers, and it pinches his ass or something.
That's pretty much what happened. Like, those two that attack him while he's sitting down there chilling, like, feeling up his helicopter wounds, that happens.
That was a squid.
He also ate the octopus, but some skull crushers did attack him like in the middle of that. Like that was before he found the octopus.
Okay.
I guess. I'll be honest.
It was a short fight. I'll give you that.
It was specifically while John C. Reilly is talking about things. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of interpreted that as like a flashback scene.
Okay.
As opposed to it's currently happening scene.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he would have the wounds that he was examining if it was a flashback. But I'll say this. I think that the way that they do it with these tinier skull crushers while constantly talking about how there's a really big one out there is a good way of building hype for the final conflict when you have a creature that doesn't have a lot of hype just built into him. Because, like, if you've got Ghidra or, you know, Rodan or Mothra, you know, those monsters, we've seen a lot of movies with those. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. But sort of like in the previous Godzilla movie, Godzilla, I think it was 2014, when they had to deal with these, like, oh, they're Mutos. They're these big moth monsters. Yeah. Who gives a shit about those things?
I like the look of them, but, I mean, they didn't exist before.
They didn't sell me on them. They didn't sell me on, like, the like horror of them or the scariness. Like,
but they loved each other.
Yeah, exactly. But so when Godzilla kills them, it's not nearly as fun as it is to watch Kong beat the fuck out of this giant skull crusher.
Yeah.
That thing showing up is genuinely pretty scary. Yeah, crawler, skull crawler. You know, Kong is the skull crusher.
Yeah.
You know what I want? Hearing you talk about that mediocre at best Godzilla movie, it makes me want more like fun fight scenes. Like, okay.
Yeah.
What's the movie? Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad. Terrible, terrible movie. But they did. But I'm just thinking of it because the new trailer for the new Suicide Squad came out. They did a thing in that movie.
Oh no, there's a new one coming out. Fuck.
Yeah, we're gonna watch it, bud. We're not rewatching
Suicide Squad. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely not. Suicide Squad. Shaun of the Dead. Here's another great example where they like have a fun like action fight and it's in time to the music and it's like fun and with the amount of like classic rock songs that are in this movie because it's Vietnam era,
right?
I would have loved to like to see
have some more
Godzilla
music
kicking ass, or not Godzilla, to see King Kong kicking Skullcrawler ass to like Fortunate Son or something like that.
I can agree with that. Yeah, the music in this movie was not used super well. And I'll say
it was good music, but it's like it was not, oh, look how well it fits the scene. And it was like, Vietnam guys.
Yeah Vietnam
for sure. I think that what I'll say about our main crew, just to start off with, is I stand by what I said at the beginning in that I like these people more than I do in most giant monster movies. They're better than most characters in that. The only exception that comes off to the top of my head is like Bryan Cranston in the beginning of the Godzilla movie. He's great, and that really is awesome, but that movie tanks as soon as he's like not in it. So
I like the guys in this movie, except for Samuel L. Jackson, man.
I just don't fully get his, like, I understand the logic of his position, but at the same time, I feel like it is too quick to be like, all right, he's going Captain Ahab on the giant monkey. I think I need like him to have been on the island and wanted to kill it or something.
I don't
like,
get why they showed the box of like all of his dead friends, Megals and stuff, but then he's like, man, I really want to go back there into war. I miss war so bad, all my friends immediately dying.
It didn't really sell that part of it, Like I can be sold on that idea of someone who has just been through war and it's all they know, and even though it's horrible and they believe it's
like
horrible.
He clearly gets excitement and enjoyment out of fighting Kong in this.
Exactly. And
And I can also get behind the idea of like, oh, like
he killed a bunch of my men.
War creates monsters, and this guy's just he just loves violence and wants to go
but
get his revenge.
He wasn't like looking at his box of like dead friends and like, oh, that was some good times back then.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I think and granted, we're making these nitpicks. We all understand who the character's supposed to be. There's just like a missing piece there, right?
Yeah.
I think the missing piece is something that they kind of implied but didn't say out loud, which is he's essentially a guy who's like, you know, we don't leave the fight half fought, right?
Sure.
Because like, even when
Brie Larson
is talking to him about, you know, oh, we lost Vietnam. He's like, we didn't lose Vietnam. We abandoned it. We didn't finish it, right? Yeah. Like, he's clearly a guy that wants to go and, like, finish the fight.
Yeah.
And so you just play that up a little more, and then when Godzilla, like, I keep calling him Godzilla because I got Godzilla on the brain. When Kong, like, kills half their helicopters in the first 5 minutes of them being on the island.
All of their helicopters.
Right. Yeah. he, you know, just have him be like, this fight ain't done yet, Kong. I mean, coming for you.
That's kind of what he's doing. I don't know if those were his friend's medals. I think those are his medals.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that either way, like the message doesn't really come through because he's pissed because Kong is killing all his buddies, and that makes sense to me. But he goes after it to a degree that makes it clear it's not really about his men. And the point where that becomes clear is he has this excuse of one of his guys. I think it was like Briggs
Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman is lost out in the jungle on his own, and so he wants to go rescue him ostensibly, but he actually wants
the
explosives and weapons that are on the ship that he went down with. So it becomes clear that he isn't actually interested in saving Chapman when Chapman's medals are found, and they know it. He's dead.
Like, doesn't change a thing.
Yeah, and he's like, "Yep, we're still going." And like, I do like that he doesn't miss a beat there. He doesn't like have to struggle with the fact that his lie has been found out. It's just like, "Nah, screw it. I'm just gonna go ahead and say anyway. Yeah. We're doing this."
Mm-hmm.
So I like that, but I agree that his character is overall pretty confused, and I don't like it for how sort of meaningless his last stand against Kong is. And how quickly he goes out once he is, like, once that is all over.
Yeah. A number of the, not necessarily main characters, but, like, people that we've spent enough time with, they're kind of main characters.
Yeah.
A number of them just go out suddenly and without much attention paid to
absolutely.
It, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Samuel L. Jackson had his, like, fifth stare down with Kong, where they're
right. Yeah. Zoom in on both their eyes.
He's got the fire burning in our eyes.
Yeah.
And then Kong kills him. And then it just moves right on. Right.
Right.
John Goodman. John Goodman is, for all intents and purposes, the reason that this movie's happening, right?
Yeah.
The reason that the plot's going forward.
Yeah.
He's like, everyone thinks he's a crackpot scientist, but actually he's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's leading it along, and then just, you know, they're fighting their way through the poison skull crawler valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks up and he's like, ah, shit. And then he gets eaten, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no attention paid to it.
That should feel like it's raising the stakes, because, you know, in a lot of ways, John Goodman has felt like the main character, in at least in terms of driving things forward.
He's very driving forward.
Yeah, and so it should feel like it's raising the stakes by being like, oh, we wouldn't kill, like, a famous character that you know this actor of, and who's such an important character, would we? Yeah, we totally did. So
it's just their main link to Monarch.
I mean, that is sort of true. And I am curious if there is any intention to bring any of these characters back, because the ending clearly implies that they should be back.
Should be, yeah.
But, like, they didn't show up in King of the Monsters, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
And King of the Monsters happens, like, 50 years later. So, like, it's hard for me to say what their intention is. I would like to see more of these characters. I think that, like, they're sort of bland. I'll say that up front. Like,
yeah, they're bland, and I think it suffers from having too many potential main characters.
Yeah.
Because we get introduced to a ton of them, right? There's John Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
There's Chapman, the guy who's like, oh, dear Billy, I'm writing my son.
Yeah.
Like, that's very clearly got the, like, Ben Affleck from Armageddon vibes to it at first.
I feel like it's got vibes of, I'm only 3 days away from retirement.
Yeah. Very red
no,
flag.
That's
what that gives off.
Well, no, not to me. The other guy, I don't know his name, but he's one of the two black soldiers on the squad.
Yeah.
Him, where he's like, oh, I love my mama and she loves me, and I was supposed to be on the first flight home today.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that it strikes me as the 2 days from retirement.
I mean, he feels like he's saying, you're 3 days from retirement? I'm only a day away from retirement.
I guess, but the guy
right, the guy who lived to the end?
I think that was the smart black guy. Did the other black guy live?
I think so, yeah.
I think he did, too,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right, he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like about this movie. It kind of defies a lot of expectations.
Yeah.
But like, guy writing letters to his son, Billy, it felt like, you know, by the end of it, he's got to fight it out so he can get home to his son, right?
No,
right.
We're supposed to care about him dying. That's why they put that.
Sure, I'm just saying it felt like he could have been the main. There's Magneto, whatever that actor's name is.
Magneto.
Guy who played Magneto.
He's not
Loki.
In this movie.
That's no.
Tom Hiddleston did not play Magneto.
You're thinking
he didn't?
You're thinking of
Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender.
Okay, Michael Fassbender and and what's his name? Loki. They look like brothers. Whatever.
They do look like
shut up. Loki's in this movie.
No, Loki's
Matthew
brother is Thor.
In the back.
I hate you. Loki's in this movie. Brie Larson's in this movie. And she does nothing, her setup is one where it's like, oh, she's going to be the main character because she's like the photographer who's capturing the real atrocities of war and whatever.
Yeah.
And there's like, and then Samuel L. Jackson, and there's all these different like main character candidates, and it turns out it's just Magneto who's the, and yes, I know, it turns out it's just Loki who's the main, who's the actual main character, but it's like, it's just this mush of like way too many people that we should care about.
I wouldn't even honestly say that Tom Hiddleston is actually the main character in my eyes. I think if there is a main character, it's just Kong. And like that's kind of cop-outy, but it's because the rest of these characters don't stand out enough to even reach main character status to me. It's one of the most confused parts of the story. But I like all these people, like, more than I usually like characters that, that are background in a giant monster movie. Like, I like all these characters more than basically anyone but Stranger Things girl in King of the Monsters. I like all these people more than I liked freaking Kick-Ass in Godzilla, like the 2014 one. They at least have enough charm to them that it makes up for their lack of overall personality for me.
I guess, but I don't go to monster movies for the charm of the humans. Like, yes, there needs to be some in there, but King Kong is not... I disagree with you. I do not feel like King Kong is the main character of this movie. I feel like the movie is the story of people who crash land on an island and try to escape their way home, not the story of big giant monkey ape defending his territory from the evil humans who come to land
there. We don't see enough of his story arc.
Main attraction, really, might be.
Yeah, he's definitely the main attraction.
Yeah.
Sure, but he's not the main character.
What about John C. Reilly? He's got the closest thing to an arc, and he starts and ends the movie.
He's the closest because, like, you see his beginning, what he's been through, and then we get to see, like,
but
how
you,
it gets
you
ends.
Get introduced to him, like, halfway through the movie.
Yeah, he can't count.
He's the opening character. Like, he's the first character we see.
Yeah, then we lose him for 30 years.
Seconds, yeah. And it's young him with a different actor. Like,
yeah.
Did they do anything to make him look like John C. Reilly?
I don't think so. He didn't look anything like John C. Reilly to me.
Where they put some brows.
I had no idea who
he
was going to be. I didn't even know this character would show up again, so I didn't even notice. Yeah.
I do love that.
I like that opening a lot.
It's great.
I want to see a movie where it's just about him and Gunpei living on this island together.
See all the other weird shit.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be awesome, because it seems to me like they hung out for a long, long time, because he's got the sword.
He called him his brother. He was like, yeah, we became brothers here.
That sounds like an amazing movie.
Oh, and you get to see them struggle with the language barrier at first, and
then you get to see Kong growing up. You get to see like him
I'm
fighting
just imagining,
the monsters.
You know, like the traditional, like it's Tarzan or it's like some of the King Kong movies where like they'll put out their hand and then the other person will like put their hand on their palm. Uh-huh. It's just that, but it's John C. Reilly and Gunpei like putting their hands up to John C. Reilly. Gunpei.
Oh, yes. God. Honestly, though, I don't mind that there's not a distinct main character in this movie. It feels almost like the characters are our ensemble piece.
Yeah.
Like, we have a few characters we start off seeing, then they recruit a few more, and then the soldiers come in. But once the shit hits the fan, it doesn't really feel like anybody is in more focus than anybody else. Hmm. And instead, they're all trying to survive in this this crazy island where... I don't think you can count Kong as a main character on it either, because if anything, he's more of a force of nature who has a tiniest bare thread of a story arc here.
Yeah.
With like his family being killed and such.
This is set up for another movie.
Oh, I totally get that. My point here is that the whole arc of the plot with the different characters supporting it feels like it's the sum of the parts that is important, not any indistinct person in it. Mm. Everyone contributes in different ways to this story, some of them way less than others. I'm looking at you, Brie Larson's character.
But my problem with that, it still feels waterlogged, because it's like a sandwich, but where every topping is lettuce, and you and you don't have like the actual meat and cheese of the sandwich.
No, the meat and cheese of the sandwich is Kong beating the shit out of things every 20 minutes.
Kong is the chips on the side. He's not actually part of the sandwich.
What?
I think he's the meat.
You come to Kong, Skull Island, and you say, nah, Kong is the
there
chips on the side.
There wasn't enough Kong. I wanted to see more Kong.
There was the right amount of Kong.
I'll say Skull Island was the meat then, because I like all of the... I never saw the other one with the dinosaurs, but I'm not as interested in... I love dinosaurs, but I'd much rather see giant weird monsters over just dinosaurs.
It's mainly the fact that he fights three Tyrannosaurus Rexes. Like, it's just a really well-choreographed fight scene in that movie.
Let's talk about the monsters in this movie, because I like a lot of the fights. I think the choreography in the fights between Kong and the monsters is really cool.
Kong and the helicopters is really good, too.
Kong and the helicopters is great. I think they do a good job of making the monsters seem really lethal, because there's some times where it's like, oh, Kong's fighting this, and they're fighting, but they don't say it's Kong, right? Mm. But in this one, it's like, oh, it seems like there's that one scene where one of them like grabs his neck in its mouth and just like slams him up against the mountain, and it's like, that's scary, right?
He does
a lot
of wrestling moves. I want to know, does he just come up with that on the fly, or do other Kongs like practice some kind of Kong martial arts that they pass down.
Well, oh my gosh, can you imagine him in the water, like, it moving around his feet as he's going through, like, his forms?
Yeah. That would be, I would watch that movie every day for the rest of my life.
He, no matter what it is, he'll see something and be like, this can be a weapon for me.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, you kind of talked about this during the movie, of, like, you kind of want Kong to have his own special power. I feel like that's it.
Anyone can do that.
It takes smart ape to use tools.
You don't see that's it in a lot of giant monster movies. Like, most of them just do what they do, and they don't, like, think and be
injured. Rodan isn't sharpening a spear.
Yeah, exactly.
They just kind of wail on each other.
You don't see that usually. Like, even Godzilla doesn't tend to do anything like that. Mm. Kong is kind of special in that. And
Godzilla pulls out trees and shoves them down people's throats.
That is true. That has happened.
Yeah, but that's also the era where, like, Godzilla turns and winks at the camera with a thumbs up.
And also flies across the screen, feet first.
Okay, that drop pick is cool as hell.
Big fan. And he plays basketball like no one's business, even though Kong should be way bigger because his hands are bigger.
But he's got
shoes.
And
he has prehensile thumbs.
Right.
Prehensile thumbs?
Opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
Prehensile tail.
Zilla's got thumbs.
He's got, like, the two big claws and, like, the opposing one. So, yeah, I'll give you that.
And I brought it up because I like the fights a lot. Mm-hmm. I do not like the design of the monsters in this movie.
The Skullcrawler specifically, or, like, everything except Kong, or everything?
Everything for different reasons.
Okay.
The giant bamboo spider thing, I think it's cool that its legs look like bamboo.
Yeah.
It's just really gross, and it's like, I don't like it.
So it did its job too well.
That one did its job too well.
I don't like how easy its legs could break. It couldn't support it, unless it's just, like, full of fucking helium or something, because immediately they could chop through its legs.
It was, like full of liquid, and not like it has blood way, but in a, like, its legs are actually bamboo, just filled with liquid kind of way.
I thought
it's
that
bamboo
was
that evolved into a spider, not a spider.
It
that
evolved a body up above it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I get everything you're saying, but
spider's gross. I don't have a problem with the design.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of the little, like, saw-nosed bat bird things.
Those things killed that guy unnecessarily brutally. Like, that guy, he wasn't, like, fun, so I wasn't sad to see him go.
One of the scientist guys, right?
It reminded me a lot of Jurassic World, where that random babysitter later just gets pulled into the up into the air by a pterodactyl and then dropped into the giant super shark's mouth. And it's just way too brutal for what, like, this character doesn't deserve that. Like, why are we going crazy hard
to
on
show
this
us
one?
How the stakes?
I guess, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like they just really didn't like that guy in particular.
Yeah. I mean, fair, kind but also it really bugged me. Those things were like they had the wingspan to like his elbows.
Yeah.
How did one of them pick him up?
Yeah, that was bizarre.
No.
That didn't make any sense.
I mean, on Skull Island, you either build it big or you build it strong.
Man, those bats are swole.
It zooms in and it's got like Kong's back level muscles going on.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Good lord, Kong has some muscles. But anyway, you were talking about the designs.
I remember this from watching it in theaters. I do not like the design of the Skull Crawlers.
Okay.
They're a bit odd, I agree. But
I think it's the, like, two legs bit.
Arms.
Because,
arms. I mean, you walked with it, but it's got handy bits, so I mean,
two leg arms, whatever.
Arms.
Limbs. Two
limbs,
bit. I'm not a fan. It feels like half the monster's missing. I like the, like,
but
monitor lizard-shaped, like, skull head.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
It looks
and, like the eyes of the skull are its nostrils, and it's got the tiny little beady eyes behind it. That's cool, but, like, neck back, I'm not a fan of this monster.
It looks like they gave a snake arms and took it to the gym.
Yeah. It really does. It really does. And for the most part, like I said, the fights work really well, but there are definitely points where it just ends up looking goofy. Because it's kind of like, you guys know the video game Spore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's kind of like when you see
one of those procedurally generated monsters,
just like, and a pack of them just like runs past the camera and you're like, oh, look at those goofy dudes, right?
And in the background, the Jurassic Park theme plays on a kazoo.
Exactly. And it kind of ends up having that feel sometimes.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, why am I taking you seriously? Look at you like lope around on your two weird legs.
I think they fit for subterranean.
I think that for me, what makes them work is two things. One, they feel really agile. The movie gives it a really good feeling that these things can really book it and move in ways that you would not expect. And so that gives them a dangerous feeling that their design wouldn't make me expect. And also, I kind of have a soft spot for them because they remind me of the Dongo from Ocarina of Time.
Nice.
But they shouldn't be as agile as they are with the two, because things with two legs move weird. Yeah. Like birds, right? Yeah. Birds, like, they can fly, but if they're walking around, they just hop. That's all they do.
Humans, so weird.
Yeah.
But you are not going to find a human doing that unless they've taken, like, a master's course in gymnastics.
What if a human's body is,
also,
like,
humans have more than two limbs.
You said legs.
You said legs.
Well, now I'm saying limbs.
Are there any actual things with two limbs? I don't think there are.
Any what things with two limbs?
Any creatures with only two limbs.
Other than things with, like...
I don't think there
like
are.
Legs? Or do you mean like...
Two limbs that run around on their two arms. Like, I don't think that's a thing.
So arms, not legs, is what you're saying.
What limbs. These monsters in the movie are. I don't think there is anything actual like that thing.
They also had snake body, though.
It did, but I don't think... Like, snakes don't have two extra arms. They just chill
they
around and run
point.
Around. They had four, though.
But there was a midpoint between them.
Ah. There's not a thing that has two legs.
I'm looking it up. Wikipedia, animals with only two limbs. These animals have evolved to only need one pair of limbs, whether arms or legs. Any other limbs have not become vestigial, but have disappeared altogether. There are two options, cetaceans and sirenidas.
I think both of those are like starfish.
So, for example, cetaceans is a category including whales, dolphins, and porpoises.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Nah, that counts.
And then,
not for what I'm talking about. You don't have to walk with that shit.
Seals. You didn't specify
fucking
that.
Seals.
Oh my god.
Seals got little paws.
I tell you what, the other category, serenity, is it's just weird lizard things where they've just got two arms and a big ass tail.
I knew it. But
they all look like the little, they're like aquatic. They all look like the little axolotls. All right, for our audio listeners, everyone's gotten up from their mics. There's one. He looks like a little axolotl. Look at this one. Here's the dwarf siren.
Okay,
kind of like
I
an
knew
a,
it. They all have to be underwater, though.
No.
Back to your mic so everyone can hear you talking. Okay. Yeah, like, they all have to be...
Amphibians can come up.
They all have to be underwater, and, like, they're swimming along, and those legs are just for, like, gripping on rocks. They're not, like, propel... They're not, like...
Running
but
they on their two
WWE
arms,
but
they come
style
out of water
moves.
That way. That's why they have them too.
To like
to be able
fling
to come
themselves
out of water.
Off of mountains and wrap themselves around. It just like, it seems weird. The scenes where they're walking specifically, because if you only have two limbs, you've got a short period of time to get that first limb down before you like topple over, right?
Well, the tail part's a big balance part.
The tail part is a big balance part, and they are broad enough that. I buy into how it works.
I'm just saying it comes across goofy sometimes. It's not even all the time for me. It's just sometimes it's like, man, you could have made it cooler.
And I think that is truer of the smaller ones than the big one. The big one I always feel is pretty menacing.
Mm-hmm. I was actually a little disappointed because I was when they said that there's a big one,
I was thinking it was going to be like dwarfing Kong.
No, I was thinking
or,
it was going to be like a kind of different design or style
to it.
Yeah,
like it was more full-growing, had more stuff
I felt like it did. Like the little ones had like a smoother head, like it's got
it
more
had
knobs.
Elbow spikes.
Yeah. I wanted a bit more than that.
I wanted
it
more than that.
Felt
I was thinking like maybe it'd have actually four limbs or maybe like
horns
or something. Something that showed like this is the big bad.
To be fair, we see Kong fighting things that look a lot like these monsters in the trailer for the next one. So maybe this one is also not fully grown. Like it's just the biggest one.
No, John C. Reilly says this is the big one.
No, I know, but like I think there might be ones that get even like it gets even bigger than that. Sort of like, you know, in Tremors there's the big fat worm stage and then there's the running around biting thing stage
and
there's
the
flying stage.
The human stage.
It's just the flying stage.
And the human stage.
The flying stage makes the big worm
eventually gets
things.
To the stage where, like, Will Ferrell and Tommy Lee Jones have to get together to fight it.
It's a cockroach.
Yeah, the cockroach stage. Monster from Tremors.
But, yeah, no, I think I understand where you're coming from. It does look goofy. But I think in the moments where it needs to be threatening, it really does pull it off. Like, just the way that it can open its mouth, like, almost to 180 degrees is just so creepy.
And coughs up those bones.
Yeah,
it conveniently coughs up the skull with Chapman's dog tags tied around it.
Polished perfectly.
Unbelievably
Which
convenient.
I don't know what part of a skull some dog tags are hanging onto. Because it's not like it's the skull and spinal column. It's just the skull with some dog tags to it. And
Skull
that,
Island.
Fair enough. Oh, man. Well, here on Skull Island, we eat everything but the skull.
I guess that's
off limits. It's tradition for
maybe
this
that
island.
Area is where they just cough up all their bones.
That's what
like,
it seems like.
Yeah, that's the impression I was getting.
I don't know. Maybe. But I the thing I don't like about that scene is so you've got that moment where John Goodman gets eaten and his camera keeps flashing and like you keep seeing that inside the monster. But that doesn't really come back. Like the
no,
closest
I was
thing
really
that I,
excited for that to come back.
The closest thing I can think of to that is in. Jurassic Park 100%. 3 where it eats the guy's cell phone and like you hear
I'm
that
sure
cell phone.
That's why they did this.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the scene in Peter Pan where the crocodile eats the clock and then you just hear
the
TikTok.
Crocodile.
Yeah, yeah. There's it's
yeah,
a,
there you go.
You want to give it some like you want to give it that trait so that in a moment where you think you're safe, you can hear that noise of like the camera going
yeah,
off.
Yeah, good lord, because do they need some sort of noise to hear these things?
You got to put a
they
bell gotta, on
yeah,
all of them.
A bell, everyone.
John C.
Everything
Reilly?
On this island sneaks up in a moment. King Kong is the size of a skyscraper and he is surprising these humans.
Uh-huh, yeah, no, like Brie Larson is for some fucking reason trying to lift a freaking helicopter off of a
Brie
water
Larson's
buffalo.
Character, she'll be a fucking sous chef, but for some reason be able to wrestle God down to the ground.
But, okay, to be fair to Brie Larson's character, because you guys have crapped on her a couple times in this, she's not worse than, like, the smart black guy or the random Asian chick that's there for
no
reason.
Not at all. My problem is that she's here to be token woman. She doesn't do anything. She's here's the thing
she's
that
here
she
to be
does.
Token, like, cool woman because
yeah,
we also have
woman.
Asian
she does
chick.
One thing in the whole movie because previously she's just there to comment on things happening
two
around
things.
Her.
Three things
what three things you she shoots
flare gun.
She shoots the she
flare
shoot,
gun twice
she
shoots
flare...
into the air for nothing
it doesn't do anything
no it, what was it supposed to do
I think it was supposed to get his
boat.
Attention
or... oh okay
yeah the
I'll
one at
that.
The air was to get the boat the second one was at the
she
skull
shot
crawler.
It at the big one's eye and
yeah
for some reason
it's more explosive and damaging than any of the other stuff that they've shot at
well
to be fair
flares do explode when they reach their like apex right
it looks more like
they had bullets and flamethrowers and stuff that did dick all
it was just distracting
just all use flamethrower or flare guns on they'd kill it easy.
I got the impression it was just distracting.
Yeah,
her.
She
I don't
do,
think it
she didn't
actually
deal damage.
Any.
She just like
it shot. It bounced him off of it.
Have you ever got an eyelash into your eye, Brian?
I don't get knocked back by the sonic boom of it.
Yeah, but if someone threw a fiery eyelash into your eye, you'd be like, ah, crap.
Then exploded into smaller fiery
yards.
Eyelashes. No, you wouldn't get knocked back, but you'd like you'd stumble back. You'd be like, ah, what the heck is this?
If
this
sounds he had just like done that. To where he'd be like, and put his little hand paw up or his tail
they
or
like
something.
They do like the cat thing where they're like rubbing it with the side of
that's
their paw.
That's fine. But she, like, with sheer force of will, she knocked that thing to the fucking mountain on the other side of things.
I think you are vastly exaggerating it.
Brie Larson's character is not a bad character. It's just a pointless one. It's there to be the woman character. Because the only other woman on this expedition is smart Asian lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it.
She has, what, five lines, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know her name.
I don't even know why she was there. Because, like, I know why the smart black guy was there. Because he came with John Goodman.
She was there with the scientific crew.
Why does she have the scientific crew uniform on? Because they all have like the same blue
because
jumpsuit
she's
thing.
Fashionable.
Because she's not scientific stormtrooper number 45. She's romantic Asian woman who will fall in love with token black man.
She was a part of Monarch. She wasn't a part of the science group that they were
that's
jumping
what I,
onto the group
that's,
of.
Okay.
And none of them had a uniform. They
I don't
all,
know.
Like John
there's
Goodman
too many
in his
characters
Jurassic
in this
Park
movie.
Outfit.
Yeah. There are too many characters. I will definitely give you that. Like, they don't have...
Isn't that how Army movies always are, though?
Sometimes, yeah. But I think that the problem is that you have to,
like...
you have to have, like, the Tom Hanks for your Saving Private Ryan. Like, the guy that you are actually following who is the main character that you can glom onto and be sure, like, okay, this is the guy whose story we're telling. This movie really lacks a main character to give it that that driving force. And it should be Tom Hiddleston's character, I think, because he's the most active and has the most impact.
To me, he's
things.
The main character.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that they're like relying on. He's the one that they, you know, he reluctantly joined the
right.
crew. And then he has to step into the leadership role to get him out safely.
Yeah,
right?
But he's just standard hero action hero man number 37. Like, there's nothing identifying about this guy.
Yeah, I know
at
nothing
all.
About this man other than that he's apparently a really good SAS operative.
That yeah. and his dad died in the war.
Yeah.
In World War II or one.
And while everyone else was, like, studying something else, he was studying the blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Man, I just assumed it was the same. As, like, he and Brie Larson had a deal to where, like, they each got a certain number of badass moments. Like, okay, well, I get to throw the liger in the explosion. Okay, well, I get a cool gas mask sword scene. Okay, well, I get to shoot the big monster with the flare gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I get to be a giant monkey and punch a giant monster.
Bringing it back around to the point of this tangent, everything on this island is sneaky.
Yeah.
Like, the skull crawlers themselves sneak up out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
These giant lumbering lizard beasts.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
John Goodman gets surprised by one.
Standing directly over him.
Oh my gosh. He doesn't notice it standing over him until he's looking at his camera and he like sees it in the reflection of the flashbulb. Yeah.
Same for Chapman.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Ugh. That one guy that gets hit in the mouth with the bamboo spiders. That was such a good kill. Oh, man. Mm. Like, because it's real easy for a movie to have
bamboo and it grew really fast.
Yeah.
I thought the bamboo just, like, came out behind him and it came out the front of his face.
That would be
back.
Really dope.
Oh, man.
I also, it's a very pointless death, but I do like the one soldier who's, like,
trying to do the heroic sacrifice.
He does a traditional, yeah. like, don't worry. You all go live your lives. I got this. And then he, like, you know, he pulls the pins and the grenades and just slowly walks forward towards
hoping
towards
it'll eat
the
him.
The big one.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it just decides it's not hungry now, where every other one of these things has eaten a human on site. It's just like, nah, you're not my favorite.
Well, you look like you've got a trap going here.
To be fair, anytime one of the humans has attacked it, it's retaliated. It hasn't just bitten them. It's like, oh, you have a flamethrower? Tail.
Yeah,
you have blank tail.
You like had little clicky things. I heard that noise. You're gonna blow me up. No.
And I like that, like, to where even the soldier's like, something's not right. Like, boom.
Yes.
Right. He gets like knocked a mile away into the side of a mountain.
So good. No, yeah. I love that. I know that it's like weird.
I'm going to spoil it now. That's my favorite part of the movie.
It's funny.
It's my second favorite kill of the movie, because my first favorite kill of the movie is when Samuel Jackson dies, because he's been such just like, not like war crimes monster, but you can tell he's like one of the bad guys of the movie.
Captain Ahab monster.
Right, where he's just like, he's so focused on killing Kong, who we're rooting for.
Do
right.
you know why he wants to kill Kong? What war did he lose that he didn't accept that they lost?
Vietnam.
The Viet Cong.
Oh! Damn!
Getting those deep cuts.
No kidding.
Like the skull crawler's throat.
Oh, gosh. He's way too focused on it, to the point where he puts his men in danger.
Yeah.
Despite, like, he's supposed to care about him, and then it's clear, like, he's the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
And then he, like, the rest of the party is like, all right, we've changed our minds. We're getting out of here. Kong's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Let's leave.
Yeah.
And he stays behind because he's a
evil bastard.
Yeah. And he's like, screw you, Kong, you son of a bitch. And right as he's about to say it, Kong just like, squash.
No, yeah.
Screw you. I'm not going to watch this. You're done. Squash.
This is when the last real big bad shows up and he could finally, like, come to terms, like, all right, calming enemy, we could do this and then deal with each. No, he's just like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. You came to my house, started blowing up shit, brought these things back to the surface. No, squish.
Yeah.
You are small beans.
He should have picked him up and thrown him at the storm.
I did want,
hilarious.
Because they, the first thing they did when they got to the island that triggered Kong and made him all mad was they were dropping these seismic charges, which is just bombs. They're just bombing the surface, right? And they talk about, you know, Kong has been knocked unconscious by inhaling napalm fumes or whatever. And so he's laying on the ground and they're stacking all these things around him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what Samuel L. Jackson is about to blow up when Kong squishes him.
Yeah.
And the big one is surfacing behind him, right?
Yeah. It didn't surface. It fucking jumped into the sky and landed.
Yeah, it erupted out of the water.
I wanted Kong to, like, pick up the munitions around him and start flinging it at the thing.
That would have been
that's
great.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
He's not
gotten
to that level of tools yet.
Well, 'cause the coolest, like, You're right, right? Like, his ability is the ability to use tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he fashions a club out of mm-hmm. a giant tree, like, stripping all the branches off of it. Slams like, this is my club.
Slams a boulder the size of a small RV.
He jumps from Montana back to Skull Island, flying through the air with this boulder.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And so, like, his whole thing is he uses what's around him, and he's smart and he's clever, right?
Yeah.
And I wish that he'd done that with more of the military stuff, because we see him use it later with some of the wreckage from the ships that have washed up.
I wish he like
wings
a tree.
He wings that like that boat propeller and just slices into the big one's neck.
God, that was so satisfying.
I kind of wish he'd had like a one of the helicopters as a club and just beaten the thing's head in. Yeah. That would have been good.
He takes the helicopter and like pull starts it like a lawnmower and like, runs the blades into it.
Yes, absolutely.
I think overall it's a movie that had a lot of potential and delivered on certain fronts, right? Because, like I said, the action is a lot of fun.
And that's what you're coming for.
It really is. But it misses the mark and just kind of slows itself down unnecessarily in a lot of parts for me.
That's fair.
I think my favorite part of the movie is the fights between Kong and the other monsters.
Yeah.
You know, I have my problems with some of the designs, but specifically the choreography in it is just beautiful, and they're fun fights to watch.
Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking back to the Godzilla movie you were talking about, where he's fighting the Mutos. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of those fights aren't fun to watch because they're in the dark and you can't really see what's happening, and it's like shaky cam, and like it's just they're not fun, and it's supposed to be. And this movie does giant monsters fighting each other so much better, and I really enjoy it.
You really get to see everything that you want to. That's the most important thing, I think. You really feel the impact because you've seen Kong wind up through the entire punch. Like, it works really well.
It works really well, and I like the action a lot. My least favorite part of the movie is just how, like, waterlogged the movie feels with the number of, like, human characters in it. Then the movie tells us we should be paying like
at least a little
good
bit of
attention to like, oh, these characters deserve your attention and you pay attention because you're gonna care about what happens to them later, and you really don't.
Yeah.
You really don't have to. A lot of them are kind of pointless, and it just slows the movie down. And I think jumping back and forth between these different characters that I don't care about is what made me feel like it jumped around as much as it did the first time watching it through.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that bad now. So I'm updating my least favorite part from it being, you know, in like just jumping all around to the number of main characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Overall though, it's fun. Like, it's a fun movie worth watching. I think it definitely is meant to be watched on the big screen. There's something
that
would be lost.
So much better. Yeah.
There's something that's lost watching it on your home TV, specifically with your home sound system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, it's fun. Yeah. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 saw-nosed bird bats.
All right. Brian?
I'm having trouble gauging where I would want to grade this, because I like a lot of it. I surprisingly like John C. Reilly's character.
He's so good.
Yeah, he was a lot more fun than I was expecting.
He was funny like he usually is, but they also let him have cool, silly moments. I like the setting. I think that's probably my favorite part, is just like, I was expecting Kong Island to have the Skull Crawlers and Kong, and that's the only interesting thing.
Yeah.
But I like that there's like a full ecosystem of weird shit here.
It's beautiful too. Like I don't know where they filmed it, whether it was Hawaii or wherever else, but it's a beautiful location.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted to see the giant ants. Was it the last Kong movie from like years ago that had all the giant...
No,
where
that
they
was
were
Indiana
in
Jones.
No, the Kong movie with Jack Black in it had that scene with like all the giant bugs and stuff.
Was that the one where they're in the crevine?
The crevasse, and Andy Serkis is like, look out for the giant millipedes. And
okay,
it's just
someone
dumped a bucket of just all the bugs, different kinds. Like, the cockroaches and the crickets and the millipedes and the
leeches.
Yeah,
and
like all of it. Oh, there's a ladybug in here. What's that doing here? Like, all of them were dumped in.
I would
that
have liked
the
some
last
giant
one.
Bugs other than the stick bug.
I think
spiders.
I think seeing the giant ants would have been cool in this. I think they threw that line in as a reference to the last one.
The giant stick bug just kind of pieced out. It was like, you know what? I don't want anything to do with this.
It
Bye.
Felt like an ecosystem more than it did that it was everything against them. They're
right. I agree with that.
Stuff lives here.
Yeah.
But
water buffaloes aren't going to try and eat them.
Yeah, water buffaloes were cool dudes.
Yeah.
They like water buffaloes and water.
Water buffaloes will kill the shit out of you in real life.
Really?
True.
I thought that was bison.
They are the most dangerous animal. Like one, they're either the most or like it, no, that's hippos.
You're hippos.
They're
like, that's 100% hippos.
It's like number three. You don't want to fuck with a water buffalo.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll have to look into that. I didn't know that.
Generally, just don't fuck with large animals.
Yeah,
ever.
No, they'll kill the shit out of you.
Humans are used to being top of the food chain. We forget that like shit with horns and claws can really mess us up.
Yeah,
we ain't shit without our tools.
Yeah, humans together strong.
Least favorites either. Samuel Jackson's motivation at the beginning, or Brie Larson as a badass, whatever she always is.
Woman?
Well, no. Whatever role she decides to play, she's still just Brie Larson being a badass.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with an actor being like, I want to have cool roles. I don't want to play lame roles.
I don't
have a problem
similar.
With that.
Yeah.
Anyway, 3 out of 5. Propeller chain.
God damn it.
All
right. So my favorite part, I've already kind of mentioned this before, specifically the one death of, what was his name?
Which
Cole?
One?
The guy with the grenades.
I think it was Cole. I think it was Cole.
Yeah. But the reason I specifically like that is this movie really defies expectations sometimes.
Yeah.
They do set up characters in ways that you kind of think, oh, that guy's probably going to die before he finishes writing this letter to his son.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But what I didn't expect is for Samuel L. Jackson's character to use that as an excuse to try to get the munitions to kill Kong.
Sure. Yeah.
I was expecting that whole thing to just be like a whole waste of time and go absolutely nowhere and just be a terrible plot point. But they actually pulled that off, and they did a pretty decent job of, like, John C. Reilly's character was not expecting him to come out and be a competent person.
Yeah.
You don't expect that from his casting, ever.
No.
But in many ways, this movie surprised me by going against the expectations that I, you know, just kind of built up going into it. Least favorite part, I'm also tempted to agree with you on the whole Brie Larson thing, but I'm going to expand a bit and just say, while I don't mind that there were so many characters, I do mind that they developed ones who weren't going to survive and didn't develop the ones who did.
Yes.
For instance, I never got this guy's name, but there is one, I believe, Mexican guy who survived. His actor also played Pillboy in Good Place. I have no idea who this man is.
They seem just like Kanging Fogger, but for some reason they survived more than other
characters did. Yeah, same with nerdy black scientist guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was not expecting a bunch of these people to survive. They didn't really get character arcs, but they killed people who did get some character development.
Yeah.
And instead we're just left with a couple of nobodies who I know nothing about and have no interest in whatsoever.
Yeah.
And yes, that includes Weaver, Brie Larson's character.
Yeah.
I don't care about
her. She makes me think of the reporter chick from Zilla.
I can see that, yeah.
Godzilla?
No, I wouldn't go that far, because that chick was just the worst.
Oh, yeah.
She was
considerably worse than this character, but she gives me the same feel.
Yeah. So, overall, I would give this 3.5 crash helicopters out of 5. It's a fun movie. It's much more fun than I was expecting it to be.
Okay. I am glad that this movie held up to my memories. I really enjoyed the fights. That was a highlight. Mm-hmm. But since you talked about that, Josh, I'm going to just say John C. Reilly is my favorite part of this movie.
He's pretty good.
I'm genuinely invested in him getting back home to his family and meeting them. Like, I want to see the story of him and Gunpei living on this island together. That sounds amazing. I would think that would be super cool. He's just so fun, and you're right that he manages to be extremely funny in this role, but also serves a lot of use to the party. Like, he's not just there to be funny. He actually does serve a real purpose, and it's not just exposition either. He actually is helping them get to where they're trying to go to, and so he just nails it. Like, he carries a lot of the movie for me in that way. My least favorite part of the movie is probably just the way the rest of the characters kind of just mush together. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So overall, I am going to say, like, definitely go check out this movie just for the fights, but I'm giving it 3.5 bamboo spiders out of 5.
It's worth watching.
Yeah.
It's worth watching. I'm not looking forward to next week.
Yeah.
Because, wait, what?
Why?
We're doing all this to watch the new Kong versus Godzilla movie, which I can't wait for.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I did not enjoy the 2014 Godzilla.
Like, wait. We're doing Godzilla King of the Monsters, not that one.
Oh,
yeah.
We're doing that one. Oh, okay, yeah. I am looking for it.
I was going to say, I didn't like that movie.
Josh's face right now. He's like, oh,
I'm so happy. I haven't even seen that one, and I want to.
It's a lot of fun. We're watching it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, my spirits have been lifted.
The whole weight off your shoulders there.
Indeed. If you want your spirits to be lifted, you should listen to more of our podcasts.
Yes.
They're available on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and OpinionatedPodcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes and follow us on Spotify. Between those things and you sharing us with your friends is the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.